Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. A couple of people said that they thought it was unfair to the last caller. We were talking about Alvin. Certainly, you should realize that other people's opinion matters. You cannot tell people what to think. The public wants to hear other opinions. It's not just about what you think. Peter, it's in poor taste to antagonize the last caller. If your VOB is supposed to facilitate a frank and free exchange of calls, you do have a duty to moderate without seeking to browbeat any caller into speaking about what you want to speak them about. Rather, let them speak about what they want to speak about. I think that you should not have antagonized Alvin and then terminated his call. Peter just opened a pack of soda mix from Wibisco and two were burnt, and he put the package that should not be. That's an interesting analogy. Alvin should be happy to know that a lot of people like him, and you know that they, yeah. So he'll be back, I'm sure. Dennis is on the air tomorrow, I think, and he's not on the air. But somebody will be here tomorrow, and I suspect that he will have a better relationship with that person than me, so he can call and chat with them and tell them all of his concerns about somebody who had to sell a piece of land and they owe somebody money and all this kind of foolishness. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Greetings.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, my brother. Good morning, listeners.
Good morning.
Mr. Bickham.
Sir.
These programs, we're calling programs, are educational and informative.
So
I would like to share some educational and information on a topic that is found in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the topic of the ark, Noah's ark. When Noah was commissioned to build the ark, it was told in the Bible, at Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. Build the ark out of resinous wood. Why resinous wood? I've done some research on the internet and found that resinous wood is having a substance called resin, which is a gum-based latex substance that protects the wood from termite infestation. It also helps the wood to be durable to avoid, not really avoid decay, but it will last very long. It also said on this research that this substance was also used for waterproofing. The next point that came out of that commission, Noah was told to build three decks on the ark and coat them with tar on the inside and the outside. Research has found that this tar is sometimes called bitumen, which is found in the pitch lake of Trinidad and Tobago. It is also a waterproofing adhesive material. These two materials, it shows that the ark was built to withstand or to avoid leakage of heavy water, a lot of water. Also, remember at that time, the earth was watered by mist. Not by rain, mm-hmm. And you didn't have no Williams company and no permaclad or no governance at that time. Okay? But also, I just want to conclude now with this part here. The information that I found mentioned nothing about an ark, it mentioned nothing about God, no, it mentioned nothing about no. It just mentioned about the wood that chemists or public, yeah, chemists and biologists have found that this would have been this gum-based waterproofing substance.
So you do believe that Noah built an ark?
Of course.
And that he took the animals in two by two?
Yeah, see, that's the point.
Okay.
You might not believe
that.
No,
I'm asking you.
But that is why I bring...
And all the animals that were on the earth were represented in Noah's ark?
Yes, sir.
Were there dinosaurs in Noah's ark, sir?
No.
No dinosaurs?
No, sir.
No dinosaurs?
No, sir.
So
no,
dinosaurs sir. Never existed, or?
No, I don't know if they exist or not, but I know they found dinosaur bones high up in the mountains, and it showed that they were evading rising water.
Oh, I see. Also, the dinosaurs were not captured and put in the ark by Noah, and as a result, they ran away to the mountains and they got drunk.
You know, I'm just confused
you
got with
a
dinosaur.
No, but if you are saying that all of the birds and the fowls and the fishes in the sea, all of them things that were represented, well, not the fishes in the sea, because they can swim, But if all the birds and the fowls and whatnot were included in Noah's Ark, I would like to think the dinosaurs should have been there too.
Right, you can think whatever you feel like thinking, you see, because that's the point I am bringing.
No, but sir, if you're saying to me that Noah's Ark really happened, right? And if you're saying to me that Noah is not a figment of your collective imagination along with the millions of other people that believe in that, then you have to say to me, if it is that all the animals were represented, why were there no dinosaurs in Noah's Ark?
Yes, you see, Mr. Wickham, I know told you that research has found not only dinosaurs, but instead of found some animals, I can't remember the call, but some longhorns, high up in the mountains, still with grass in the mouth, because the ice froze there, there are torsos.
Okay.
Some of this is the information that was
this is the woolly mammoth.
I think so, yeah. Right.
Yeah, the woolly mammoth would have been a bit big to fit in the ark. But certainly, if he follows God's instructions to the letter, he would have built an ark that was big enough for the dinosaurs and the woolly mammoth, one of each.
And since
you have so many different types of dinosaurs, ones that swim, one that fly, one that walk, you got to have all of them. You got to have space for all of them.
You see, Mr. Wickham. Daddy? Hold on a minute,
I'll tell Sharon, you're coming back to her now, don't worry.
Yeah.
We're talking biblical talk.
Right. You see, Noah was given instructions, but specific instructions.
But he didn't follow them.
No. You hold a word. Hold a word, sir. The Bible does not give us the whole detail of what was in there. No. Jehovah only wants us to know and understand what went in. So the facts that we bought, this material you're talking about, resin, is news don't so all day.
Yeah, you understand the resin point. The resin point makes sense. And the wood and the fact that it's used pitch and all that. I got that part. But the part I'm not understanding is that the instructions were very clear from God that he should put every single bird or fish, every single fowl or animal on the earth should go in two by two or hold hands and walk in. And I am not seeing any indication that dinosaurs went in there.
You see, Mr. Wickham.
And the woolly mammoth didn't go in there neither.
Hold your word.
Now, it's possible that he didn't have space, but my point is that if you followed God's instruction, the ark should have been bigger so he had space for all these animals.
But, Mr. Wickham, we don't know that.
How you
that's
mean?
Only that's what you're assuming. Because I just say you don't understand. But I want to say something to you.
No, I don't understand, and I'm trying for you to help you. I'm trying to get you to help me to understand how an inclusive instruction to carry all of the animals on the earth in two by two excluded particularly large and aggressive animals like dinosaurs and woolly mammoth.
You I want to ask you a question. You feel no to understand what Jehovah is telling you.
Sir, I don't understand it. That's the problem. The reason that I sit here as a non-believer is because I find, sir, the whole thing is beyond my understanding and it does not make sense.
But Mr.
And the example that you have given by bringing the story or the fable of Noah's Ark to me is a perfect example of something that does not make sense. Sir, no, it is illogical. It did not happen.
No, it ain't gonna make sense.
Sir, it didn't happen.
It ain't gonna make sense to you because
you expect a lion to sit down next to a cheetah and a cow and a sheep laying down next to a lion. These are predators.
Mr. Wickham.
What did these animals eat for these several weeks that they were floating on the thing? Would they eat grass?
And they told
Did they eat one another?
I told you everything is not written down in there.
And that's the problem. You need to write down things so that simple minds like me could understand it. And if you don't write it down, I can believe it's not true.
But yeah, let me get a final word here, right? The prophet
You're not getting a final word. You could get him more words. But I'm saying help me to understand, get to a point of understanding. Isn't it? You tell me more about the prophet. I want to hear about that. I want to hear how it makes sense.
No, you can't do that. You cannot do that. You got to find a balance, brother. You can't tell me that you don't want to hear that. I mean, you could. You gotta find a balance, man.
So help me find this balance.
Well, the prophet Daniel wrote some prophecies that included all things, and he said, and it's written in the Bible, he don't even understand what he's writing.
He wrote it, and he said he don't understand what he's writing.
And he was because it was not.
And sir, and that works for you?
Of course. Because right now we live in a thing that people live in.
You know what I find fascinating? I find fascinating the stuff that y'all guys is read and y'all is willing to repeat and accept it. Sir, if I met you and I told you last night I had a conversation with God on the road to Damascus, I am sure that as I am leaving this building, there will be somebody out there in a white van to carry me down with the mental. I can't pull that stuff, but for some strange reason, these people that lived 300 years ago are able to come up with these incredible stories and you guys believe it.
But listen, Mr.
Sir, it's
you
odd.
Hold on a minute, sir.
Sir, if I say to you that I spoke to God and God told me X, A, B, and C, would you believe me?
It depends on what you're saying.
I should be able to tell you anything and you believe it.
No, because
there are some pretty incredible things that Noah is supposed to have said that you all believe. Like the fact that he built an ark.
I can tell some things that you won't understand anyway, means.
Well.
The new heavens and the new earth. And which brothers and sisters as well. There's a lot of things in the Bible that you will not understand at all. And I will speak it to you. And I've got 10-year-old children in my congress that would teach you, but you don't want to learn.
I don't. No, sir. I don't.
And let me wrap up. No, then. I can tell you
sir, all of them things I learn in Sunday school, too. It only started now. I learned in Sunday school with James Street. With people who were teaching me, Auntie Joy and all of them, and they were teaching me about these things. And my point is that I don't think that them understand them neither, because you don't understand it.
Man, listen.
But say, how can you tell me this is it, but Daniel said all of these things, but half of the things he said he didn't understand himself. Are you telling me that we're supposed to have a serious conversation about this?
Hello, what about people in this thing don't live in the world that don't even understand the word of God?
You know the solution to this, sir? And I think that that's the challenge that you have, right? That I understand that the talk about Noah is metaphorical, okay?
Right.
It is metaphorical. The Garden of Eden was also metaphorical.
All right.
When you speak to serious religious people, they will tell you that the literal interpretation of these things presents all kinds of challenges. So if you deal with the metaphorical, you can get the sense of what they were trying to say. And to me, the sense of it makes sense. You know, the gist of it makes sense. That you are talking about a facility whereby you could preserve human life. And I do believe that the flood was an interpretation perhaps of a meteoric strike on the earth that to some extent destroyed some human life and preserved others. And all I'm saying is that if we look at it in that context, we will make progress. But if you come and tell me that a man built a boat so big and he coated it with tar and he carrying animals and goats and sheep, to lay down and lions to lay down next to one another for 6 weeks. It was 6 weeks that they were floating. And then they get hungry in that 6 weeks and eat one another. Sir, come off it.
Listen to me, right?
You believe that?
Yes.
Gosh,
I want you to believe this here now, right? The Bible says God is...
I see a picture of a man online the other day. The man said that he's the Messiah, right? He went to one of these developing countries, some white man with long hair, and said that he's the Messiah. You ain't believe that, too? Huh?
Peter.
Yes, sir.
Just hold a minute. Let me give you this and let me wrap up. But you will never get up.
But you ain't going to wrap up. You running, eh? Are you running, you?
I am running. I want to say something to you, right? The Bible says that the man is the head of the woman. Christ is the head of the man. And God is the head of Christ. That is written down. We have some women in the world that say the man cannot rule them, not really rule them.
That's a dangerous thing you just said. The Bible said the man is the head of the woman.
Well, let me talk. You hold on. In the jungle of Brazil, these people do not have no Bible, no internet, no TV, nothing, so no smart, nothing. The man goes out and hunt food for his family. The man protects his family from invading intruders. The man offers up prayers to God, that more God that he don't know. The women stay home and look after the children. Where he get that information from? And they break down. And we got it break down, and we don't want to live through it.
But when you say the man is the head of the household, what does that imply? That a woman should love, honor, and obey the man?
You play or understand what you're saying?
I want to hear you say those words. You believe that a woman should love, honor, and obey her husband.
What he's not prepared to do nothing that is unrighteous. Basically, the woman to respect.
But the words love, honor, and obey are taken from the marriage vows of old. So you feel that your wife agreed to love, honor, and obey you?
So long as they don't put you to do nothing wrong with you, but she do something wrong, she can't share, and now she do that.
I want Marsha Hainsley listening to you.
Marsha listen to me. Listen, the Bible said that a man is to love his wife and give her his life. And
but he also said that the man is the head of the household. That's what the Bible says.
But I know God draw a comparison to you, and you're listening to me.
I'm listening to you, but I just think that what you're saying doesn't sound like a lot of sense. I personally don't believe that nobody has ordained that nobody should be head of no household. Sir, I think that what you have just identified with your tribal analogy is a simple situation in which that tribe has determined that men have certain skills and certain strengths, and women have certain skills and certain strengths. And that the man, the way that he is constructed, he is better suited for the hunting, while the woman is better suited for gathering and for taking care of the family and so on. That is what they have determined, okay? Now, in their society, that type of thing is important. Brute strength for hunting and nimbleness for gathering. The challenge is that we don't live in a society where we neither hunt nor gather. So our hunting and gathering is done in a supermarket, and both people can equally do that. And that's the reason why our relationship in terms of the gender has also to change in the context of current society. Because the fact that I may have a physical advantage over a woman, it doesn't make me any better able to run a household than that woman. So this is why I'm saying that you got to be careful. You have to be careful with the interpretations that you give. Because your ideas can run yourself into some problems. Let me just give you a quick story, sir.
The Bible also said that we are equal, because we do not want...
You can't be equal on one head over the other. Which is which?
But you will not understand this, Mr. Baker.
But sir, I help me to understand. Either you're equal on one head over the other.
Yeah, but there's equality, but you must have. You see two pilots playing the same time.
Listen, I went to... I did a focus group in one of the Caribbean islands with men who were abusers. Let me make my point. Wait. I did a focus group some time ago with men who were abusers, and I was talking to these men to try to understand why it is that they felt it necessary to be so abusive. And a couple of them said to me, the problem is that their wife would not hear to them, and the wife would not understand that the man is to be the head of the household. So when I give my wife an instruction, which is to go stop home and don't go by the outside man, she should hear to me. And if she don't hear to me, there will be consequences. Sir, just be very, very careful that you do not find yourself in the company of such men. Because that is where this thinking, you are saying a person who has been convicted by a court for abusing women is saying to me that the basis of his abuse lies in the biblical instruction that he was given, that he's the head of the household. I have never heard such nonsense in my life.
I never say that, sir. I never say the man is abuse no woman.
But you say he's the head of the household. That's what the Bible says.
If I want to buy a present for my wife, I make it a secret. I was trying to find out from her, but don't let her know. What she like, and what she doing, like, I'm back for her. I'm just going to buy anything. I said she must have it, or she must take it. It don't work, so become daddy work, daddy way of the world. Then the word of God, man. We have to love our wives and keep them respect. The part that you don't understand. You let men get there. Are you serious? I said, well, man, I agree with you. Stop on the waffles. I can agree with that. But you have loving men and loving husbands and wives that live for 50 years.
Sir, let me make it
50 years.
Let me make it clear that when all is said and done, I encourage you to love the Lord as much as you did yesterday. Don't let anything...
I said
I encourage you to love the Lord today as much as you did yesterday. Don't let anything I have said to you lead you to believe that I don't think you should love the Lord here. You carry on smartly. All right, sir? We're going to run. Thanks a lot for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Peter.
Hey, how you doing, sir? It's ironic that you would call in at a point like this.
No, Peter. I make it abundantly clear already that the Bible is not to be debated, so I don't get involved in biblical.
But Patrick, I don't understand that you'd be quoting the Bible left, right, and center.
Of course, but I am not prepared to argue the Bible, and that's what some Christians.
You quote it almost as much as me.
But no, you have to argue, because that the truth is that unless a person is spiritually discerned, understand spiritual things, it's going to be difficult to have a conversation with such a person. So why would you try to ram? The Bible never tells the Bible ramming the gospel down the throat. And the Christians need to understand they can't ram the gospel down the throat. And no one. You're supposed to tell people about the love of Christ. Yeah, you understand? And live a life that will cause them to want to. But you can't. And I, do it really want it. I really want people to be talking at all because right. it frustrates me sometimes. I'm being very serious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can't force Christianity upon the body. And that's one of the first things that Christians must understand. You cannot force. If you have an opportunity to speak on any matter that relates to it as a Christian, then you speak to the issue and speak to it in the manner in which you would believe or you were directed by the same. But you can't force it upon people. Right, so I ain't getting there at all. I want to deal with a few things, Peter. Because I heard Alvin and you had a conversation this morning. Cause every time he called this program, he like going back to this written off of taxes and so on. Right? And I also want to talk about the 2020 gathering. Because you had another caller who seemed to know the finances of Barbados living abroad. Because he wondered where they can stay and Barbara's got his space to fit them and all kind of foolishness. If we had records of over a million tourists passing through the country at given periods in the year, and you going got a handful of Barbadians that would not equate to a million coming, and you find the time for visitors, if you find the space for visitors, you mean you can't find the space for your own. This is the kind of nonsense that people are calling program to believe that they can belittle. And it's a wonderful idea. That's why I don't understand we're coming with this nonsense. I'll let you know the finances of the people coming, the Barbadians who live abroad coming home. You can't speak to this issue about where they're going to stay. He ain't putting up none, so what are you worrying about where they're going to stay for? He intend to put up any? There's a lot of nonsense. No, I heard Alvin spoke about the raising off of taxes. My understanding when I follow Senator McConney in the upper house, she spoke the interest and penalties that were there.
Patrick,
I heard Maxine McLean.
Patrick, he was not talking about that taxes.
No, he talked about 1968 taxes to 2002. He spoke about that too.
You're talking about a different kind of tax.
No. And he dealt with that. The Prime Minister, on the assuming office, Peter, spoke on the 7th of June to the raising of taxes from 1968 to 2000. She took her time and explained to the members of the public that in most cases, these individuals most of them obviously were dead, and a lot of them, they couldn't find the funds to properly build persons for the taxes that they had owed.
All right, Patrick, we're going to have to stick a pin. Dennis is telling me that you can come back after the regional roundup, so do stay with us. We're going out to the regional roundup. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. You're welcome to call us on 434-1790. You can email me directly at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com, or you can use the chat, 266-IVOB, and on the subject of the chat, we have quite a bit of controversy was sparked by my interaction regarding this matter of the Bible. And now we have arguments for and against. One guy says, Peter, you do not listen. You have a physical thinking and it is a bad sickness. You really do need to listen. Another lady says, Peter, he was not forcing the word on you. He was just being difficult, as usual. You know better. If he wasn't explaining right, your job was to do it. Please be aware that young people are listening to you. Thank you. Peter, I tried to call in, but I couldn't get in. You are mistaken on a number of fronts. Firstly, the dinosaurs were from a different time. There's historical evidence that the flood did, in fact, take place. And I do note that there is another person who told me that there's historical evidence that the earth was flooded. And the flood did take place. And as a result, there was a need for Noah's Ark. I tried to call in. I couldn't get through. I hope to engage you on the subject in the future. But then, of course, there is the other side. We have one gentleman who tells me, Peter, who cut all the wood for Noah's boat? It was pretty much a massive boat. Was the lumber prepackaged or did it come from Home Depot? How about the penguins and the other animals from the Arctic and the Antarctic? How exactly did they get in the Arctic? Did they walk across the earth to be there just in time? And then another gentleman is telling me, who I understand has some level of pastoral knowledge. Indeed, he's a reverend. And he says, I really marvel at the nonsense which flows from the lips of these theological illiterates. The Bible said men are the head of women because the Bible was written in the context of a patriarchal society and reflects a strong patriarchal influence. And certainly, I agree with this gentleman and certainly a lot of what he is saying. You know, I continue to make the point that people who have been trained at Codrington College, generally speaking, I get along well with, and I think there's a lot that we can agree on. The challenge is the pastors and the preachers that come from other places that don't seem to study the word in the way that the ones at Codrington College do, that come away with this literal idea that there actually was a boat called Noah, and there was a person who sailed the boat called Noah. But the dinosaur part, I can't get. I mean, if there is intelligent design, all of the animals were created at the same time. And, you know, God created humans and he created animals. He did all of it in 6 days and rested on the 7th day. There would have been dinosaurs by the time Noah was ready to do what he had to do. Why did they die? You know. So these questions abound. You can rest assured, though, I'm not losing any sleep over the answers. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I think Claude.
Hey, Anti-America, how are you, sir?
Not too bad.
It's refreshing to hear you because I believe you will take the conversation in an entirely different direction now.
I'm not familiar with Bibles. You
must have one.
You love that. Enjoy that conversation. Go along, man.
You don't have one home?
I have a dictionary. I got a Wikipedia.
Okay.
I got access to YouTube.
You don't have a Gita and.
No Quran, nothing like that.
You don't have a Quran or a Gita? What about the Book of the Torah. Mormon? The Book of the Mormon.
Oh, God. You know, if it helps people to get along, to get by day and cope, who am I to criticize them or find fault?
I agree. But you know, that's my view, on it. If it works for you.
If it breeds ignorance, though, that is probably where the fault.
I think this is where the challenge comes in.
Flo! Hear me, guy, talking loud. There is such a thing as intrusive advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you intrude on people, it happens on YouTube quite a bit. Or it happens on Facebook. When you're watching something, all of a sudden somebody's ad, and I won't call the people's name. Because if you intrude on my experience with your advertising, I will not shop with you. It is simple and straightforward as that. And I think the executives of the various companies, I notice that YouTube right now is trying to demonstrate some kind of, they want to have a, they're asking people, how was the advertising experience for you? Because people are complaining.
But you pay, wait, hold on a second. You pay for YouTube?
If I pay for YouTube?
You pay for YouTube and you pay for Facebook?
The point is, people will probably leave YouTube to a newer.
But they got a newer nothing to go to? The point is that it's a free. Come off it. It is a free facility, and you are watching a free facility. And if they decide to intrude on you with an advert, you can't complain. If you don't want the advert, pay for it.
No, well, there you go. But they're asking people, because people have complained to them, I'm sure, about the intrusiveness of the advertising. So you'll probably see the advertising
come
at the beginning.
What people have to also understand is that the facility has to be paid for.
Oh, you understand, and I understand that as well, but it's the way in which it was done. You can't have Flo on for 10 minutes in a call-in program. That's intrusive.
But Flo is paid for the time. Flo is paid for the time. Flo is paid so that Dennis can be paid and I can be paid. Of course, Dennis being paid is a bigger challenge than I being paid. But, you know, that's what Flo has done.
To the recipients of the service that you're providing.
I disagree. I disagree with you.
Fair enough,
You're being unreasonable as you often are. I'm sorry.
Not necessarily. If Flo could come a little 2 minutes something, the message will be clear.
But they have the money to pay for more time. They pay for more time.
Pay for it after 2 o'clock. Or pay for it during, or just before 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Don't pay for it during the little half hour we got here. Seriously, it's intrusive.
Next point, sir.
No, but okay, as a consumer of the service you're providing, I think it should be acceptable that I should be allowed to give my opinion on something that I think.
I don't have a problem with you giving your opinion on it. I just tell you don't get carried away because you only got 10 minutes.
But fair enough.
Okay, you know when they give you more than 10 minutes, discuss me and tell me that I have bias and all this kind of thing.
Well, you get a guy, Patrick. Oh, gosh, man. Anyway, look, here's the thing. You know, everything, you know, you like to push the lawyer people. I know they're women. I know they went to foundation. They're very good-looking women. They're very intelligent, and they can speak well. And, Miss Molly Gordon's been popular. She makes some real stupid decisions. But, you know, it boils down to popularity. And that is unfortunate because it means you're dealing with a population that they know no better. They know better. I see a poll that came out last week on confidence of consumers. I mean, I really wonder how much that poll cost the government and taxpayers a barbecue.
It didn't cost the government and taxpayers a cent.
Oh, it didn't.
That's something that Dwayne Devonish does on his own initiative every year. I don't know who pays for it, but I know that it doesn't.
That is so pleasing to know. Not the taxpayers didn't pay for that either. Because when you start speaking about confidence has to be matched with some semblance of knowledge. You have to be aware as to what it is that you're being asked about before you can say, I'm confident. You know, a lot of stuff in Barbados goes up you don't know about. Even Mr. Ellis gets there and talk about getting information, like pulling teeth, not that he actually goes after information. People wait for information to come to them.
It's not as though he pulls teeth either.
I'm sorry?
It's not as though he pulls teeth either.
Yeah, you're pulling teeth neither. You know, pull teeth what? The truth is that even the people when they come into power, they swear.
You know, Dennis Walsh told me that pulling teeth is actually quite easy.
But I don't think he may have pulled his own. I had no problems with it. I never tried pulling mine. And I have no desire of pulling anyone else's either. Miss Agard is my... Miss Agard is my
Miss
friend.
Miss Agard is your dentist?
Yes, she is, actually.
That's great. Dr. Agard, I should say.
Yeah, you know, you get close and personal. I don't always get close and personal to females, but when you're a dentist as a female, you ain't got a choice but to be close.
Right.
Okay, so the thing is this. It should be about polling a population that is aware, that has been enlightened in some way, that have been educated to the fact. It's like the same Brexit thing. You ask people a question that most of them may know nothing about, and they'll give you a foolish answer. And you're going to go with that answer and say, well, this is a relevant thing because the majority of people feel this way. If the majority of people are stupid as idiots, we expect but a foolish response. The same with elections every 5 years.
Right?
Huh?
I see you nearly cussed there. Can I give you my take on it now?
Because you benefit from this, because you're
going to benefit from it.
You
pull right, but I know, but let me just tell you my response. Duane Devenish is well known to me. Actually, truth be told, Duane was one of my students, one of my better students.
I thought he was an older man, that's
true. He's a young fella, much younger than me. He's done very well, I must tell you. You say ignorant people.
They're ignorant, not in Beijing terms.
Auntie, there's something called a scientific research and indicator, okay? I can ask you, how long did it take you to get to town? I can ask you, how did you feel about the fact that it took you an hour to get to town? I can ask you, tomorrow, will you be willing to endure this ride to get to town again? And on that basis, I can construe that you are dissatisfied with the transport sector. The important thing is social research, and this is what Duane would attempt to do, is that when he asks questions, he's asking key indicators that person are answering from their own knowledge. And on that basis, you construct an analysis or an assumption that the person is either happy or unhappy based on their answer to particular discrete questions. You don't say to a person, are you happy generally with how things are? Because that allows for too much speculation. The idea of the type of research that Duane is doing is that you try to use clear indicators, which are small, discrete questions that are indicative of how a person feels one way or the other. And I think that that is what he would have done in that study. I have not read it. I'm not familiar with it. But as a social researcher, certainly one that was tutored by me, he would be on the ball in that regard. So I hope that helps you. It's not to say that the population is ignorant.
Okay. So you
the problem right the then. Problem with the Brexit is a different problem, that you are asking people who are generally ignorant of an issue to vote on it, which is a huge problem, because you're saying to people, you don't know anything about this, but I want you to give an opinion on it, and it is very different from what Duane did.
Well, you say with the election, you don't know anything about any of the two parties, but you want to give them an opinion. Don't mean that they go on a platform and they promise you every damn thing, but you know
yeah,
little...
So you going to come back at me now? Were you going to come back and attack me?
But it's the same damn thing, but I don't know about Duane.
You usually don't be happy unless you attack me?
Sorry?
Why do you have to attack me? We're talking about Duane's work, not mine.
No, but your work is similar to Brexit, isn't it?
Right? I ask people, you vote in D or you vote in B?
Yeah, but they vote based on ignorance.
But then the point is that if they vote in B or they vote in D, the reasons are another matter altogether.
You keep pushing B and D as if they're the own alternative. And then.
But they are in Barbados. You want to vote for UPP?
But I want to vote.
A waste of vote.
Who just want to vote for anything but? Huh?
Well,
or don't vote at all?
So I'd let you, so you start with that. You vote for anything but what you end up getting. You get 30 love.
Because you have to probably recognize that Barbados is a 5-year dictatorship and live with it and do nothing to change it. Unfortunately, if this guy did, as you said, and asked these little discrete questions looking for specific response, so what? I mean, what does consumer confidence have to do with anything?
I think it has a lot to do with everything, because it's an indicator of satisfaction with how things are. In another jurisdiction, I ask a question about the relationship of the government and the private sector, because that's equally an indicator. So it's done, and I think it's a good thing that it's done. Quite frankly, I would like some of the other academics at UWE to do that type of research.
Well, I don't know. I'd rather do research that's on tangible issues, like how much sickle cell anemia got about the place, or the fact that
that's a different researcher.
No, but there is definitive It's not a confidence thing. It's definitive. It's not how I feel about anything. When you feel something about something, perhaps you don't know enough to know that your feeling has been influenced in some way or the other. You may not be getting the tongue by bus. You may be getting the tongue by car, and your car stalled twice and it's ready. You got a problem with your mechanic. So if you ask me how I feel about my transport, I say I don't feel that good about it.
Somebody here is telling me that you need Xanax or yoga to cool down.